We present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the Digital Freeview TV Guide read by Corrie Caulfield.
1930 to 2030. Jamie's 15-minute meals.
And our thanks to Pete London for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Hugo Rifkin. And opposite them on my left, Nathan Caton and Susan Kalman. Jeremy, who tried to form an orderly coup this week?
Well, this is the miserable story of Egypt, because Egypt had a revolution and we all thought this is great, there's a revolution, and the Muslim Brotherhood sat around thinking, let's see how this pans out before we do anything. Came in right at the end, piggybacked it, came to power because the opposition was split and people didn't want the old regime back in, then became tyrannical, then everyone got fed up and then asked the army to overthrow them. And it's all miserable and everyone's thinking, well, what was all that about? And the coverage has acquired this sort of narrative that sort of says, well, that's the trouble with some parts of the world, really. You see, they just can't really handle democracy. And even the British Broadcasting Corporation. On Newsnight, there was this tone of, ah, well, you see, the noble Egyptian is a proud horseman and trusted guide, but faced with matters of the franchise is an ape-like child. And Mark Urban came on with a map to show the relative levels of stability in different parts of the Middle East. And they were saying, look, our digital cartographers have come up with this handy gizmo. Now you can see those parts of Arabia that are tamed by the despot and the monarch are well-behaved and most agreeable. But see, given freedom, how skittish and giddy the Arab becomes.
No, I read somebody saying that the problem with Egypt was that the liberals aren't Democrats and the Democrats aren't liberals. But it sort of suggests that what they really need is the Liberal Democrats, and I don't think that can be right.
The new president is called Adli Mansour, and apparently his name means fair victory. It's a bit like discovering that George Osborne's name means nice man who's good at maths, isn't it?
It's slightly strange, though, because I was in my local hostelry discussing matters of state.
Do you not have a home of your own?
No. And bedroom tax. And we were discussing the kind of how odd it was, you know, a democratically elected president overthrown by the military because they weren't pleased with what was happening. And I said to them, do you think any of us would ever rise up and have a coup? And the gentleman beside me said, oh, we might, but not while the tennis is on. Which I think...
They do seem very Moorish revolutions, though, don't they? I mean, you have one, 2 years later you want to have another. I mean, they do seem kind of...
It's Morocco where they have Moorish revolutions.
Oh, sorry, I beg your pardon.
Totally different kind of Arab altogether.
I find it fascinating how they just protest and march and just like go. They stay out in the streets for ages, right? Because I've tried protesting once and I failed miserably, right? As a girl that I was dating, she was like really active, like, you know, protesting against animal cruelty. And I didn't really want to go, but because I like having sex, I said yes.
Yeah. Right? You're an honest boy.
But I think I didn't realise how long they actually do it for. Like, I thought maybe an hour tops.
Are we still talking about the protest?
They were protesting for ages. I thought maybe an hour maximum. I was there for 3 hours. But I was like, come on, how mad can you be against animal cruelty? I'm not going to lie. I got really hungry and I'm tired and I sneaked off and I went to KFC.
How did that relationship work out for you, Nathan?
Yeah.
She dumped me, surprisingly.
Oh, my word. What a cow she was.
That's cruel to animals. Following mass protests, the Egyptian army has ousted President Morsi from power, suspended the constitution and pledged to hold fresh elections. Egypt's nascent republic had discussed many different voting systems, toying with first-past-the-post, alternative vote, single transferable vote, before finally settling on the alternative vote plus rioting if dissatisfied system. President Morsi's term in office was marred by, amongst other things, a failing economy. Must have been all those pyramid schemes. 2 points to Jeremy. Hugo, whose selection process is too united?
This is the Labour Party in Falkirk having a disaster. Basically what happened was Unite, the union, they bought membership of the party for lots of their own members so that they could vote in the selection process and get their own candidate in. The problem with this being that they bought them all in a sort of in a one-er, and they beat the people they were buying membership for, didn't know they were being bought membership of the Labour Party, and were a bit surprised when they started getting the letters. Now, I sympathise with this, because the same happened to me when I was at university.
All right.
Because, you know, my father is a Conservative politician, and when I started at university, someone bought me membership of the Labour Party as a joke. Which was quite confusing, because I didn't know about it again until the letters came. But then I was given honorary membership.
You didn't know there was a Labour Party? I mean, how serious was your father about...
But I was given honorary membership of the Conservative Party when he came to speak one time, and I actively went out and joined the Green Party. So in my youth, I was a member of most parties except for the Liberal Democrats at some point. And I actually tried to join the Liberal Democrats when they had their last leadership battle, because I was writing a story about it, and I found out if you joined, you could vote in the leadership battle. Mm. So I sent in my cheque, and this was a time when the leader of the party had resigned for being an alcoholic, and one of the front runners had just come out, despite having run anti-gay campaigns, and another one was being accused of pooing on rent boys in the bath, or the other way around, and they sent back my cheque, because they said I might bring the party into disrepute. So to date, the Lib Dems are the only major party of which I've never been a member.
Well, darling, you should try and apply again. You might end up as leader. Fantastic. But the thing is that Unite could now be prosecuted for fraud on this whole thing. But this is a crime that carries a prison sentence. Now, there's 1.5 million members. What are they going to do? Are they going to take turns or what?
They all stand together. It's in the small print.
Right.
Yeah.
One of the things that David Cameron, and I know he listens. Hi, Dave. How you doing? One of the things that Dave needs to kind of watch out for in Prime Minister's Question Time, because I watched it. Someone has obviously said to him, make the most amount of impact by repeating the name Len McCluskey as many times. In almost every question, he might have said Len McCluskey. And whilst it did create impact, it's also a well-known seduction technique, Sandy Toksvig. To repeat someone's name in conversation, Sandy Toksvig. And then the person is drawn to you, Sandy Toksvig. And as
sorry,
I was
just
watching
two seconds, 3 points to Susan.
As I was watching, I thought, yes, you're making an impact, Dave, but it also sounds like you fancy him.
Ed Miliband used Prime Minister's questions to rebuff claims that the trade union Unite has been strong-arming its own candidates into safe Labour seats. Unite are alleged to have forced the election of their preferred candidate in Falkirk by packing the party with as many as 100 supporters, some of whom were unaware that they had been recruited to the Labour Party. I hate when that happens. I found out I joined UKIP last week. I was livid. It wasn't a great week for Miliband, as his briefing notes for PMQs were left in a toilet by an aide. Not only did Miliband leave his briefing notes in the toilet, he forgot his gym kit too and had to do PE in his pants and vest. Nathan, listen to this. Nathan, who couldn't Bolivia the way the US treated him this week?
Boom.
Boom.
The Bolivian president, yes. I forgot his name, Evo or something.
Morales.
Yes, right. His plane was held in Austria for like 14 hours. Suspicion that he had something on the plane that he shouldn't have had, which was the prison whistleblower, Edward Snowden, who obviously leaked information because he said he didn't want to live in a world where everything he did or said would be remembered and stored. So you've clearly never had a girlfriend in your life. no offence, women. I'm saying that. I've never turned on my laptop and seen a message on the screen saying, I still can't believe what you said yesterday.
I just love the way you said, no offence, women, as the ultimate disclaimer. No offence, women.
But you're about to be offended. That whole incident kind of reminds me of, like, I used to work at Heathrow Airport. I was a check-in agent while I was at university. And every now and again, you get, like, random things that people, like, try and take onto a plane. Right? The weirdest thing was this woman, she tried to take a women's adult toy, so to speak.
Like, do you mean a neck massager?
yeah, that. let's just try to take that on board. But what got me is it was in her hand luggage.
It could have been a long flight.
why do you need that?
Guys.
for hand luggage?
Most
people take like a magazine or like. if the plane goes down, she's going to whip it out for like one last moment of glory or something.
If we could come back to spying, please. Snowden is currently seeking asylum from up to 12 different countries, which I think comes across as a bit needy. Do we know where he's going to go?
There's not really anywhere he can go. It's a bit difficult because he hasn't got a passport. So someone needs to give him a passport in order to get out. This is assuming he actually is, in the sort of transit zone in Moscow airport. I mean, there's a sort of certain irony that this whole story began with him going, look, everywhere you go, they can track you. Everyone always knows where you are. And now for 2 weeks, everyone's been, where the hell is he?
Bolivia has complained to the UN after the plane carrying President Evo Morales was diverted to Vienna amid suspicions that whistleblower Edward Snowden was on board. France apologised for the late confirmation of permission for the plane to pass through its airspace by releasing a statement saying, boof. Edward Snowden is still believed to be in a Russian airport, although it's hard to find him, as inside that airport there's another smaller airport than... smaller airport. 2 points to Nathan. The end of round one. The scores are Nathan and Susan have got 5 points, but Jeremy and Hugo are in the lead with 6. We start round two with a correction published in the Isle of Wight County Press.
In a story last week about an island designer, it was wrongly stated that Bella Stringfellow is nightclub owner Peter Stringfellow's daughter. She is, in fact, his wife.
And our thanks to Debbie Robinson for sending us that. Jeremy, listen to this.
Splish, splash, I was taking a bath long about a Saturday night. Yeah. A rub-a-dub, just relaxing in the tub, thinking everything was all right.
Well, Jeremy, why are we pouring money down the plug hole?
We're too clean. According to something that about we go to the toilet too much, something called off-piss has told us we should stop going to the lavatory and washing. We're all putting too much water in kettles, and it's disaster because more people boiled to death in kettles every week than died in the Second World War. So you've all got to put no water in your kettle so the element burns out and you can't use it anymore. And you're not supposed to have a shower. You're supposed to use wet wipes, which you dry out and use again the following day.
It just seems odd that we get told off for this. I mean, we live on an island and it rains all the time. It's not like we put the last Sumatran tiger in a kettle or something, you know what I mean?
Basically, the whole country is just supposed to be Glastonbury all year round. We have no flushing lavatories and we don't wash. And we should use dishwashers, which must have an incredible carbon footprint to produce. And it's lazy. Dishwashers are lazy. I mean, in the old days, you'd put by an evening, you'd put a gramophone record on and you'd wash the dishes.
Do you always flush? Would you do that?
Not when I wash the dishes, no. Call me old-fashioned, I use the kitchen sink.
One of the things that they did say, though, was the problem was that people were taking showers for too long. I always take a really quick shower for two reasons. One, psycho. And the second was, after being frightened about psycho, moved into the flat, closed the bathroom door, because I'm a private person, I was on my own having a shower, having a nice time, and the door opened. And that was when I realised that the cats had worked out how to open doors. But what happened was the door slammed open and I screamed, fell out of the shower, bruised myself quite desperately, then had the realisation that my mother's prediction that I would be found dead in my flat, eaten by my cats, was about to come true. And after that, I've always taken really quick showers, fully clothed.
They say on average you'd have like 4.4 showers a week. If anyone believes that, I encourage you to come to my house and go to my brother's bedroom. That does not smell like 4.4 showers a week. It stinks of BO and Lynx Africa.
What is that with the boys and the Lynx thing? My son went through a phase. Thank God he's come out the other side. But we had a brief period where we could none of us breathe. I developed asthma. The average Briton uses 142 litres of water a day, much of it wasted, according to a survey by the Energy Savings Trust. Researchers interviewed 86,000 households about their water usage, with responses ranging from, what are you doing in my shower, to, do you mind, I'm on the lavatory. 75% of people boil more water in the kettle than they need to. The other 25% sensibly stick to gin. 2 points to Jeremy. Hugo, Who has had the most humble and now humiliating day of his life?
Right. OK, this is happening again, is it? Sandy, as you know, as we've talked about before...
Yes, darling.
I am an employee of a company owned by Rupert Murdoch.
Oh, I'd completely forgotten.
Yes, I know. And it's astonishing how often this happens. And bearing that in mind...
Yes.
And bearing in mind that there are certain sort of, you know, arguments and, in fact, words as well that the BBC is unlikely to broadcast, I'd like to say the following. Holy shit, how come this always happens whenever I come on this program? Every time there's a story about phone hacking. I mean, what chances? That hasn't been one for months. But no, Hugo's coming on the news quiz. That's Channel 4 exclusive. Brilliant.
And now, in a more measured response...
More seriously, however, this is about Rupert Murdoch, yes, addressing Sun journalists. He was talking about phone hacking and accusations that the Sun and the News of the World had paid money to public officials, mainly policemen. He basically said that the company had got some things wrong in volunteering so much information to the police, and he regretted doing so, which isn't that unreasonable a thing to say, as nobody else, no other company has volunteered any information to the police, which is why of the 30 or so arrests there have been for phone hacking and linked things, they've pretty much all come from information volunteered by News International, which makes you slightly wonder what the 200 or so police who are working on this are doing all the time.
Hmm. He did say the police are incompetent, and we all do that from time to time. We say, oh, the police are incompetent, and we pay their wages, but he can legitimately say that.
Well, he said Murdoch regretted the level of cooperation by News Corp's Management and Standards Committee. I love the idea of them having a Standards Committee. It's a bit like Genghis Khan employing a health and safety officer, isn't it? A secret recording made by Sun journalists has revealed Rupert Murdoch's real opinions on the investigation into the phone hacking scandal. Murdoch dismissed payments to police and public officials as the culture of Fleet Street. Then there was a pause as Sun journalists looked up what the word culture meant. The meeting reduced some journalists to tears as Murdoch made his usual exit through a cloud of CS gas and brimstone. 2 points to Hugo. Nathan, who's all going on a shorter summer holiday?
Oh, our children. Well, not my children. I ain't got no children that I know of. Apparently, head teachers are going to be given the chance to set them in term dates, which means kids could have shorter summer holidays. Which I know a lot of parents are thinking, well, you know, that's pretty messed up. But from a selfish point of view, from someone who's got an 11-year-old sister and a 4-year-old sister, hallelujah, my goodness. Like, I love my sisters, but I can't bear it when they're on holiday. I see just episode after episode of Peppa Pig and Hannah Montana. Peppa Pig, I literally hate now. Like, if I want to watch a bunch of pigs talking rubbish, I'll watch Prime Minister's Questions. So I don't
With my kids, it was Pingu, which I hated with a passion I can hardly begin to see. It was...
Pingu's fantastic.
Shut up!
Pingu's great. You just don't appreciate it, because Pingu is about real penguins. It's not all that kind of cutesy march of the penguin, and he's walking along with... What's the... You know, Pingu's much more gritty. Pingu is the Ken Loach of...
But it's not inherently a stupid idea. I mean, it's some holidays, they are very long, and sort of disadvantaged kids fall back a lot over the summer holidays, and the posh kids don't.
Well, I mean, the 6 weeks was for rural areas to help adults bring in the harvest, wasn't it? That was the original idea. And then these days, children expect a round of applause if they bring a cup in from the lounge.
It seems like that Michael Gove just, like, determined to, like, disrupt children's education, like, because, like, he wants to change the GCSEs to eye levels.
He wants to change it. Do you not think he had some list at school that he's absolutely sticking with, and it sort of started with become prefect and it's going to end with invade Russia? There's something... something maniacal about it, isn't there?
He said he wants teenagers to study a whole play by Shakespeare, which just sounds like he's trying to have a laugh. Can you imagine some of our teenagers trying to, like, recite Shakespeare? You know, like, hey, yo, Romeo, blood, Romeo, where are you, though? Where are you, though? I is here, Bedrin. I is here, Bedrin. Why are your parents bringing beef, though?
I'd go see that. I say. The newly published deregulation bill is to give schools across England the power to set their own term dates from 2015, potentially ending the traditional 6-week summer holiday. Holidays will be spread out across the year, allowing parents to suffer their children in shorter, more manageable monthly instalments. Private schools already set their own holidays, usually in a villa in Tuscany. 2 points to Nathan. And Susan, listen to this.
Happy talk, keep talking, happy talk. Talk about things you'd like to...
Susan, who's hung up about supermarket etiquette?
A woman was at a checkout in a Sainsbury's. Can I say Sainsbury's?
I'm going to, so you help yourself.
OK. A woman was at checkout in a supermarket and she placed her items on the little conveyor belt thing that is still exciting to me, even as a 38-year-old woman, because I imagine jumping on it face first and the woman touching me gently. So...
That's an unexpected item. The woman is...
Oh, do you know, I feel nauseous at the thought of Susan's begging area. That's where you are.
The woman put her items on the little conveyor belt and she was on her mobile telephone. And the cashier said, I am not ringing up these items until you hang up your call and you give me some form of eye-to-eye respect type contact. And the woman, who was asked to put the phone down, was very upset about this because she thought it was very rude.
I'm so with the cashier on this one.
Absolutely.
Put the phone down.
Good on the cashier. I think it's absolutely correct. Put the phone down and have some form of eye contact with the person you're speaking to. I know it's difficult if it's me you're speaking to. Just look down. You'll find me somewhere.
Yes, do you know what I was just thinking? This is not a joke. This is absolutely serious. Do you know what we should do? We should campaign to have a day. One day when nobody uses their mobile phone, right? And you write letters to people that you love. Wouldn't that be great? Honestly. And the money that you save that day should go to a charity of your choice.
I do find it kind of weird, though. Like, people get a bit offended over, like, the weirdest things. You know, like I recently had an incident where I got an email from my gym threatening to terminate my membership for inappropriate behaviour because I was wearing a hood. That's it. That's all I was doing. I was like, of all the inappropriate things I could be
really?
Doing, like, you're going to get mad because I'm wearing a hood. So I thought, you know what, it's their gym, well, you know, their rules, so now...
Were you only wearing a hood?
Was it a whole wizard costume?
Do they have no monks who come and get fit at all? What's so extraordinary about somebody who suddenly comes into the news? This woman was called Jo Clark, and so suddenly discovers it. I've never heard of this woman before. She lives with her parents, Tom and Jerry. How thrilling is that? A debate about mobile phone etiquette has been sparked after Ms. Jo Clark of Crayford, Kent, complained to Sainsbury's when a cashier refused to serve her until she ended her phone call. Sainsbury's said it is not their policy to not serve customers who are using a mobile phone, but they are having a special offer on double negatives. Sainsbury's apologised and gave Ms. Clark some vouchers. Unfortunately, they were for Woolworths. Nathan, who had to pledge to hold and to have...
Oh, the young couple who had to change their vows to have and to hold. That part of the vow was too religious.
They were saying it was so tight. Things like in sickness and in health and things like that were so tied to the Anglican prayer book. And that's to say that it didn't exist before the prayer book, and people who don't believe in God don't also say, I'll look after you if you're not well. It's a very... And then all they did was switch the words round, and then it made it less religious. Like, God doesn't notice you've just switched the words around. He's omnipotent and all-seeing, but he just doesn't work. He's great crap at Scrabble. And... I think it should be much shorter. We got civil partnered last year, and after 10 years together and a year of planning the wedding, by the time it came to the vows, I just wanted to say, all right then, can we just have dinner now? I'm really tired.
I often think that, like, wedding vows nowadays should be kind of modernised, you know? I went to a wedding last year, and they completely revamped it to make it modern. It was the best wedding ceremony I've ever been to in my life, right? They took out to have and to hold and sitting, standing, deaf, and instead the minister said things like, do you promise to change your status on Facebook to in a relationship? Do you promise to poke your wife and only your wife? Brilliant.
Can I just say, just to make you feel a bit more heartened, it's not in sickness and in death, it's in sickness and in health. There's a kind of a cheerier Sorry. Aspect to it.
That's why I'm single.
The phrase in sickness and in health has been deemed too religious for a civil wedding ceremony by East London Council. Council officials ruled that Louise and Gary Liddington's vows were too Christian, and instead of to have and to hold, they would have to say to hold and to have. What a morons of bunch. Hymns and Bible readings have been officially banned from civil ceremonies since 1837, after Jesus, Muhammad and Buddha wrote a strongly worded letter to the Telegraph. The Liddingtons later recited their original vows at the reception that evening, getting a standing ovation from the guests before they were struck down by a bolt of lightning and a plague of locusts ate the cake. 2 points to Nathan. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along, Mr. Hardy.
Sandy, you gave me this.
I did.
It was from the man who sells the bacon rolls at Wandsworth Town Station. He says, "Hi, Sandy. If you're short of cuttings on the news, Chris, this week, I heard this read out on BBC Radio 4's 6pm news. It's about the abdication of the King of Belgium. The king, who's 79, has been on the throne for nearly 20 years. In a televised broadcast, he said his age and health no longer allowed him to carry out his functions as he would want to."
From Howell.
Howell Bevan, who sells bacon rolls and ones which apparently are delicious. Is that
They're
true,
They're fantastic,
Sandy?
And it's a good use of a pig. Mr. Rifkin.
This is from Jim Hickman, and it's from the Daily Telegraph. "A claustrophobic prisoner failed to attend court because he refused to get in the back of a van that was taking him there. Robert Akerson, 36, also refused to use a small video link room at the prison for the same reason, but arrived at Bradford Crown Court on Friday after prison staff organised a different van to transfer him. Andrew Semple, prosecuting, said that he had breached a restraining order to stay away from his partner's home. Police went to the property last month and found him hiding in a cupboard."
Mr. Caton.
This is from Rodney Clayton. He spotted a review on the website TripAdvisor by an American tourist who's visiting the Tower of London. And it said, "One of the most moving pieces I encountered was the memorial to Anne Boleyn and other innocents who were executed on that spot. I can't wait to go back and take my husband."
Ms. Kelman.
This is from Dan Levy, and it's from the Oxford Mail. Oxfordshire MPs were split in tonight's vote on gay marriage in the House of Commons. Prime Minister David Cameron voted in favour. Oxford West and Abingdon MP Nicola Blackwood voted against. Henley MP John Howell voted both ways.
Let's take a look at the final score. Nathan and Susan have got 13 points, but this week's runaway winners are Jeremy and Hugo with 18. Before we leave you, here is a description from the Channel 4 TV listing sent to us by Oliver Condy.
Ben Earle, trick artist. The magician performs a range of illusions on the theme of money, including trying to steal £10,000 from a vault before ultimately jumping from a four-storey building, last in the series.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Jeremy Hardy, Hugo Rifkin, Nathan Caton and Susan Carman. In the chair was Sandy Toxwood, and the news was read by me, Corey Caulfield. The chair's script was written by Roderick Crooks, Lucy Clark and John Luke Roberts, with additional material by James Bugg and Phil Wang. The producer was Sam Michel.